I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, and welcome to Born Yesterday, a podcast experiment in which Andy Barr.
Hello.
And I, Alexander Bennett, have been cloning ourselves.
You are on the money once again, which is remarkable, given all the episodes that we've made it through, that you keep smashing this out of the park. Cloning ourselves. Those clones have been given 24 hours in which to familiarise themselves with three things. What happens next?
Well, then we invite special comedian guests to explain other things to them, bearing in mind their only frame of reference is the three things they've learned about in 24 hours.
Yes.
Because they were born yesterday.
Yep.
So it's only a day since they were born, so they've only had a day to learn about some things.
Yeah. And born yesterday is a sort of phrase
that people use, and there's there's an old film called Born Yesterday as well.
And
a musical, I think.
From thence, the little idea for this award-nominated podcast arose.
Yes.
What three things do our clones...
I think it's important that we stress to the listeners that they should listen to this like it's award-nominated.
Yeah, because it is. You can't separate that.
No. A motorway service station.
Cilla Black.
And tennis are the things that we know about in this episode.
Yep. Do you think we've got complacent since our award nomination?
I don't think we've had long enough to become complacent, but still the answer is yes.
Yeah, those are... Those laurels look like they could bear a bit of weight.
I object to the idea that quality has dropped on this production in any level. Now, Andy, do you have any strong feelings about motorway service stations?
No.
Okay. No. Here's a question for you.
Mm. Thank God.
And I do know the answer. Why is there a little gambling area at lots of service stations?
I don't know.
And I know the answer is because people are horribly addicted to gambling.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it's okay for, like, you know, what's a motorway service station brand? I don't know why it's okay to sort of funnel tired drivers towards a load of fruit machines.
Well, I suppose they might wake you up a bit. Lots of lights, noises.
So
just a sort of sensory overload that really shocks them back into...
Well, in that case, just have a sort of like sensory booth that just plays loud noises.
Well, you can either go to the gambling bit or you can go to the Guantanamo Bay area where you can have Metallica blasted at you. And...
Yeah. When I went to the... horror exhibition at the is it called the Summer Hall in London near the Thames.
Somerset House?
Somerset House, that's what I meant. I went to the horror exhibition, which was excellent, and had lots of different things from, you know, TV shows that I'm very fond of, and films, and there were bits of the Wicker Man set there.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of artistic expression of horror, and one of them was just a sort of room that you went into that was blood red, and there were sort of appalling noises being played at you. And I thought to myself, this is really, this would be great just off the M5.
Yeah. Just, yeah, good.
How do you feel about tennis?
I quite like it. I like watching tennis every so often. I won't seek it out.
Yeah, I have the same opinion with tennis that I do most sports, which is I can watch it once a year and really get into it.
Yeah.
You know, into the drama, into the play.
Yeah.
I don't understand people who are really into... I know you're really into some sports, but it's like I really enjoy watching one game of football a year. And then,
right. Which one?
Normally something with some stakes, so like a World Cup or a European.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But I go, oh, that was fun, and then I don't care for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, tennis, I feel quite similar about tennis, I think. I mean, I'd like playing it. I mean, I've never had a full game. But it's quite fun to twat a ball back and forth.
Yeah.
For a bit.
I'm terrible at tennis.
Oh, yeah, I'm crap.
Yeah.
I'm really crap.
All right at badminton.
Yeah.
But only just all right.
Yeah. How many minors? Call back to a bit we're going to cut out there.
Which was a better driving test, it should be said. I'd also like to use this point in the podcast to launch my new campaign, which is so tennis players grunt quite often.
Yep.
And the explanation for that is it's a sort of they're physically exerting themselves so much that they need to vocally express it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like saying people in other sports don't physically express themselves very much. I would like us to start a campaign for the same thing to happen for the snooker.
Oh, yeah.
Because these people are mentally exerting themselves an awful lot.
Yeah.
And there's physical skill. And I think it would be appropriate to knock a white to the far corner and really give it a good old grunt to send it on its way.
Yeah. What would be the purpose of knocking the white to a far corner?
Well, I've missed. I haven't given you a full breakdown of where all the
Sullivan
other
Sullivan steps up to the twats the white
because that's
to the corner off the table into the
because that's where some of the other balls are. You pedantic cunt.
Steps up, picks up the white, hoys it into the upper reaches of the crucible. Fucks off for the day. Snooker done and dusted. Maybe you could extend it to all workplaces.
All sports?
Yeah, you just filled out a purchase order.
Well, the one it makes the most sense in is darts.
Right.
Is you know...
I was extrapolating to all workplaces.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. I think
at the Mackey's drive-through.
You're at the Mackey's drive-through.
You're here to... you know that your order's ready.
It says, oh, that's my chicken fillet burger.
My McFlurry is arriving.
Thank you, postman. Well, I do try to floss at least twice a week.
Anticipating how much of an enjoyable listening experience this is going to be.
Two tickets to Mission Impossible Fallout Part 2, please.
Thank you for the budget, Mr. Chancellor. Or Mrs. Chancellor.
Ugh. I see. And what does the word metastasized mean? Oh, dear. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get to the real thing that we're here to talk about.
Mm. Baralish is terrible on flights.
What?
Cilla Black.
Apparently she's terrible full stop.
Yeah.
Every story that you hear about Cilla Black is... you heard? Every story that you hear about Cilla Black is that she was awful. Cilla Black, on the other hand...
Yeah, a diamond.
Yeah, an absolute diamond. A diva, you know.
Yeah, dreadful.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Blind Date?
No.
I did.
Did you?
Well, very distinct memories of Blind Date being on in the chippy near my grandparents' house in Craven Arms.
Craven Arms?
Yeah, which is where my grandparents lived.
It's a very strange name for a place.
Mm. It sounds really gothic, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Yeah. It's interruption. And is when I was going there, like the street that they lived on, it was like going like to the 1940s.
Mm.
And that included some of the, you know,
attitudes,
gender attitudes displayed on Blind Date.
Ah, yes. Yeah. It was a different time.
How do we explain to younger listeners who don't know what Blind Date is, what it is?
I've barely watched it, to be honest. So,
Blind Date is a TV format hosted by Cilla Black, a woman with more teeth than any other part of her body.
Mm.
And
what a voice.
And it's important to note about the phrase "what a voice" that it can mean several things.
Mm-hmm.
A woman, I think it was always a woman, would ask questions of three men behind a barrier,
mm.
and would select one of those three men to take on a date based on what answers they gave to those three questions.
Yeah.
The format is stolen from the United States.
Yeah. And the barrier is removed once the decision has been made.
So you can...
And then she spots that they're a potato. She goes, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Dreadful TV format.
Mm.
Really boring.
Better or worse than Take Me Out?
Way worse.
Right.
Because in Blind Date, everything is scripted.
Right.
So you're watching members of the public struggle for a bad script.
Right, okay.
Is essentially what you're watching.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking tedious.
Yeah.
Whereas in Take Me Out, there's so many of them. They can edit between different reactions.
Mm.
You've got McGuinness working his magic. And they pick real characters to come down that tube.
Mm. It should be more of a it's quite a structured sort of lift system that they have in Take Me Out, and I think it would be better if it were a tube.
Well, they sort of...
They just sort of come down. Like, they're not lowered on a platform.
We're dumped out of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sort of drop down, and then, you know, whoever's able to sort of style that out the best is already kind of ahead in the game.
Cilla Black had many catchphrases. Surprise, surprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's only me.
I don't believe it.
These were catchphrases. Yeah. I am your father.
Yeah.
Which is a thing she used to say to quite a lot of people.
Yeah. What?
Both,
you heard.
Both on and off screen.
Yeah.
If you were on Blind Date, Andy.
Yep.
And the three lovely ladies.
Three of them now.
Yeah. Behind her. So you're the person.
Oh, right. Okay.
Three lovely ladies. What question would you ask? Because the format had to, you know, if you were a fruit, what kind of fruit would you be? And you have to come up with a sort of saucy answer to that.
Yeah. Have you read Infinite Jest? And then I'm anticipating that it would be yes, yes, no. Then I'd go, I'll take no so I can tell her about it.
Do you know what I'd ask?
No.
If you're a woman, what sort of woman would you be?
Right.
And then I'd know. And then I'd pick one of them based on the descriptions.
Right. What description's really going to get your juices flowing?
Squat.
Squat. I tell it like it is. People like me for my honesty, you know.
Yeah. Squat tells it like it is. Loud. Warm.
I'm too hot.
Yeah,
hot. I'm too hot. I mean,
hot.
I've got too many layers on.
Yeah.
Can I take off my jumper?
I don't want them to have any qualifications in anything.
Right. Our two guests today are Finlay Christie and Annie McGrath.
You can find Annie McGrath on social media. On Instagram, she's McGrath.Annie. And you can listen to her podcast, The Secret Artists Podcast, on your preferred podcast listening app.
Yep. And you can find Finlay Christie on all of the various socials. I can't remember what any of his handles are, but he has a special OK Zoomer.
On YouTube.
Yep.
And
you can navigate YouTube. You're sensible people.
Yeah, Finlay Christie is the name you're looking for.
Yep.
Finlay will also be doing the Edinburgh Fringe, so get tickets for that when they are available.
Yes, yes,
please
yes.
Buy tickets to my Soho Theatre dates, 29th and 30th of April. And if you're listening to this today, on the day of release, you can still vote for us in the Chortle Awards.
Yep.
So do that.
You can come and see me in Herne Bay on the 6th of March or in Reading on the 28th.
Should we listen to the episode?
Yes, please. Or Leamington Spa on the 20th of April.
Annie McGrath.
Hello.
And Finlay Christie.
Hey, man.
Thank you very much for agreeing to explain a few things to us today.
It's cool.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No, thank you.
In the time that myself and Andy have existed, we have come to learn something of the following three things.
A motorway service station.
We are aware of Cilla Black.
And we are familiar with tennis.
Mm.
These things we have an understanding of. We know about Cilla Black, but we'd like to know about more people.
Yeah.
So in a minute, Annie, could you please explain to us who Bob the Builder is?
Yes. So Bob the Builder, unlike Cilla Black, doesn't host a blind date.
Really?
He is, in fact, someone who, instead of constructing relationships, he constructs buildings.
Right.
What's a building?
That's something that Cilla Black lives in. You know, like a motorway service station.
So a motorway service station is a building?
Exactly.
Okay,
and that's where Cilla Black, Black lives.
Cilla Black.
How many
she lives
places,
in something similar to that.
But, how many places to live in does she need?
Is she still with us?
You guys, Cilla Black. We are aware of who Cilla Black
given
is.
Given that you know so much about
her. We're not actually aware of her current status.
Okay.
We just know who she is.
I don't know how many buildings she lives in, but Bob the Builder...
Would her being not with us affect how many she needed?
Well, I guess she wouldn't need any.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Annie.
Oh, wow. Really didn't get to the crux of Bob the Builder there.
Yeah, but we're defining him by negation.
Yeah, but I think we've sort of got some information there.
Okay, great.
Bob the Builder makes service stations, and that's where Cilla Black lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm happy with that.
Thanks. Finlay.
Yeah.
In 1 minute, could you please tell us who Stalin is? Time starts now.
Okay, so you know petrol.
It's at the service station.
Yeah.
What is petrol?
Petrol is the thing that comes out the pump in the service station.
The sort of black liquid.
Yeah, that makes the cars go.
That's what makes
the cars go, I think.
Mm-hmm.
How does the black liquid make the cars go?
I don't even know. The black liquid. I think it gets like burned, sort of, and then like moves a piston around. Okay. I'm using words that you don't know what these things are.
How do you burn a liquid?
That's a good question.
Ooh. Answer it.
How do you burn a liquid? Have you ever seen like a fire at a pet? We're really not getting
No, thank you. Thanks very much.
That was helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Thin.
I think I got caught up in explaining what petrol was.
Mm. Yeah.
So, Andy, would you like to tell us what we've learnt about Stalin?
Well, no. But I can tell you that a black liquid, when burnt, makes the cars go via a piston. But
thank you, Thinley.
That's all right.
It felt like you just wanted to get the word piston in, and you managed that.
I feel like people thought I was stupid listening to this until I said piston, and they're like, yeah. "Well, he might."
That's
be
how
a
I felt
smart,
watching yeah. you describe.
What's stupid?
Stupid is when you don't... You know how you guys only know three things? Mm, yeah. You guys, basically.
Right.
We're stupid.
Yeah, because you only know about three things.
Okay.
The less things you know about, the more stupid you are.
Fewer.
And
were we to mention pistons?
Pistons, yeah. I feel like yeah. I should mention...
So that's is that the threshold for...
Well, I
being
think
not
if,
stupid.
If we go off what Finley's saying, if you and I just slip in the word piston every so often, people won't think we're stupid.
Yeah, what piston.
If you know about three things, stupid. But if one of them is piston, does that mean?
And if all of them are piston, then that's really good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Brilliant.
Piston.
Piston.
We've learnt piston about some people there.
Yeah.
Piston. We'd like to know about some places. Piston. Annie.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what and where a Go Ape Centre is? Your time starts now.
A Go Ape Centre, from my understanding, is like a tennis court in that it's outside.
Right.
Right.
And like when you're playing tennis, that's a sort of activity.
Playing tennis is an activity.
Yeah, it's a sport, if you will.
Okay.
Piston. And it's physical. It's like a physical activity. And Go Ape is like that, but I think you're sort of swinging around trees.
Right.
Trees you might have seen from the petrol station, but they're not inside the petrol station. I've never done Go Ape.
Trees are outside a petrol station.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in Go Ape, you're sort of in trees, I think.
What's Cilla Black's relationship with the trees?
Great question. That's the sort of thing she might ask on Blind Date, I think, which is a show that she hosts, as you know.
Yeah, we know what Blind Date is.
Yeah, great. God, now I feel stupid.
We're not stupid.
Piston.
Yeah, Jinx. We know about that.
I won't explain Jinx now. Ape.
What's Jinx?
When you say something at the same time as someone else, you say Jinx if you're in your sort of late 20s, early 30s.
Why do you say Jinx?
Because it just, I don't know, it was like a fun, not that fun thing that, you're probably too young for this. Are you Jinx?
Who are you talking to?
Finley.
Oh. How,
he's the other guest on the show.
How young are you?
24.
Okay, we were born yesterday.
To be fair, yeah, I can't really.
So he's quite old comparatively.
I can't do my shtick now.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
What's shtick?
Shtick is like, you know how Cilla Black does sort of a bit of conversation that makes you kind of feel joy?
Yeah.
But it's sort of similar every time.
Yeah, what's your name and where do you come from?
Yeah.
That's her shtick.
Yeah.
what's your name and where do you come from?
Yeah.
And that generates joy.
Okay. So what does ape mean?
Ape is a...
Thank you.
Thanks.
Annie, in 2 minutes, you've explained to us that Go Ape is a bit like tennis, but it's got something to do with the trees outside a service station.
Yeah, you swing around in them.
You swing around in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfectly clear. Finley, in 2 minutes, could you tell us what the Iceland Phallological Museum is?
Yeah.
Time starts now.
Okay, so you know how... In tennis,
yes.
There's a lot of like you're basically trying to beat the other person by proving more that you're more of a kind of
You're trying to hit the ball in a way that they can't hit the ball more times than they can.
Yeah, you know how the tennis players have genitals?
No,
no,
not always. By the way,
okay, I would think that was part. I would think that that was part of the game of tennis. Like, if you knew about tennis,
I don't remember genitals being a part of the game of tennis.
No,
he's not heard that.
What are
women
genitals?
Can play tennis? As well.
But women have genitals as well. I feel attacked.
could you tell us a tennis player who has no genitals?
Yeah, I was going. That's a good question. Thank you.
As far as I know, I don't think Serena or Venus have genitals, but I haven't checked.
They don't have genitals.
Oh, sorry, genitals. When you said genitals, I heard testicles.
Oh,
what's that?
It's like, well, I'll let Finley talk about testicles.
Testicles? Mm-hmm. You know the tennis balls?
Yeah.
Okay, imagine they're a bit, they're not as kind of rough and fuzzy.
They've got a different texture.
They've got a different texture. Mm. And they're between the legs of sort of slightly taller, more muscular tennis players.
And how does that play into... Because the position of the ball on the court is quite important to the scoring system.
Yeah.
So how are the scores affected by the presence of the tennis balls between their legs?
Well, we're getting into a weird area here. I mean, I don't think that the value of the game itself... I don't think whether or not they have testicles affects my enjoyment of the game.
And where's Iceland?
Iceland, it's you know how...
Time's up. Thank you very much,
Finn. Thank you so much.
I forgot that genitals weren't testicles.
Well, I mean, we didn't know that.
We didn't know that.
We've learned now.
That's useful information. Yeah. Would you like to sum up what we've learned about the Iceland Phallological Museum?
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming something of a struggle to learn anything today, but it's the Iceland Phallological Museum, if I'm to sort of extract from the context we've been provided with, is possibly somewhere where rough tennis balls are displayed.
Piston.
Yeah.
Piston.
Is that a shtick you're going to keep up with?
Yes.
Wonderful.
One area of the human experience that myself and Andy would like to know more about is art.
Art.
Mm.
And creativity. Annie?
Yeah?
In 3 minutes, could you please explain to us the meaning contained within or the lyrics or something about the song Welcome to the Black Parade? You've got 3 minutes and your time starts now.
Welcome to the Black Parade. Are lyrics from, I'm not sure, but...
Okay, what do you think it is?
I think it's a song that I haven't heard of.
What's a song? Yeah.
A song is like, you know when you go into a petrol station and there's loads of noise, like there's people eating McDonald's or playing arcade games.
Yeah. All these things can be found
in a petrol station. Yeah. And alongside
Cilla
that,
Black
there might be some
doing
really...
her shtick.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cilla Black.
People
in there
paying for the black liquid to set fire inside of their cars.
Mm.
Yeah, it's got it all. but there's, you might hear something that sounds like speaking, but it's nicer to listen to, or sometimes not as nice to listen to, depending on your taste. People have different tastes in music, which means... that if you heard something, you might either like it or not like it.
So it's a sound that you may or may not like.
Yes. Mm.
Okay, so that's what a song is.
Yes, and it's like an expression of someone else's creativity, but...
An expression of their creativity. So what is creatively being expressed in Welcome to the Black Parade?
That's a great question.
Well, let's break it down. I mean, what's a parade?
A parade is like when... Cilla Black
Here she is.
She might be. It's like a sort of party.
A party,
right?
What's a party? Cilla Black is not there by herself, but she's there with lots of other people, and they're sort of going from one location to another, maybe like along the street,
So a party is when you're with a group of people and you're just moving around.
A parade is like, I think right. In a parade, it's like a party, but you're moving from one place to another.
But what's a party?
It's a static parade.
It's like...
So a party is when you're still with lots of people.
Yeah.
And a parade is when like lots of people move around.
It's like after a game of tennis that you've won, you might go to a party to celebrate.
You'd all go and be still.
Yeah, in a different location.
Somewhere else. Is Scylla doing her shtick at the...
I reckon she's asking you what your name is and where you've come from at the party.
What is there anything that motivates a party becoming a parade or a parade becoming a party?
I think a parade has more sort of incentive, like there's more motivation in a parade.
What sort of motivation?
Like we're parading for pride or something.
What's pride?
Pride is a celebration of LGBTQ+.
And is that something that it's not possible to celebrate at a party?
I think you can celebrate it at a party, but I think a parade, you're moving around.
Thank you, Annie. Your time is up.
Cheers.
What was the question?
Well, we asked you to explain to us what's going on in the song Welcome to the Black Parade.
Yeah.
And we've learned that a song is a version of someone speaking that you may or may not like.
Yeah.
And Welcome to the Black Parade is a black version of a moving party that you might go to after the tennis or to celebrate the LGBTQIA+ community.
And presumably the welcome is provided by Scylla.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hmm.
I mean, it's all learning. We're learning something.
It's all useful information. Yeah.
Finlay, could you please explain to us the work of art Snow White and the Seven Dwarves?
Your 3 minutes start now.
Okay, you know how at Wimbledon... everyone wears white. Like tennis players wear white.
Tennis, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not everyone. Maybe the crowd don't wear white. Okay. Yeah.
I think there's lots of colours being worn in the crowd.
You know how there's lots of like families and stuff at service stations?
What's a family?
Oh, okay. You know, at Wimbledon, sometimes there's in the crowd, there's like people, selections of people who sort of look similar. And it's like a person with fuzzy tennis balls between their legs,
yes.
And then someone that doesn't, and then sort of smaller people that look like them. Imagine those smaller people,
yes.
Were less stupid than you guys, and they know more things. They've had more experiences.
They know about pistons,
yeah.
But they also they're the same height as the smaller people, but they have the same experience as the taller people.
So they're not stupid, but they are short.
Exactly.
Okay.
They're not stupid, but they are short.
And those are different things.
Yes.
For the listener, I'm short.
So imagine one of the tennis players was surrounded by these short, not stupid people.
Mm. Which one?
Do I know a tennis player? Serena Williams? Is that Venus Williams? Is that a tennis player?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know about tennis, surely.
We know a bit about tennis.
Yeah. Aware of the scoring system, played on a court.
I think Serena Williams is a tennis player. Imagine her sort of white clothing is a bit sort of more complex, you know, more details to it.
In what way?
More aesthetically pleasing, more.
You're going to have to help us with that.
Okay, there's more going on in the outfit. It's really complicated. But also,
why is it complicated?
There's just details.
What sort of details?
Like frilly. It's frilly a bit.
What's frilly?
I think that's what Snow White wears. No,
Seen Snow White?
No.
She wears blue and red, I think.
Does she wear blue and red?
I reckon her top bit is blue and red, and it's her bottom bit that's white.
Well, Finley's been telling us that she wears a complicated tennis outfit.
Can we stick with that, please?
Okay.
Because I'm too far gone now to say that she wears blue and red.
I mean, this is a truth-gathering exercise, so yes. I'd quite like to drill down on what's...
We're going to park that. We're going to talk about the little, short, not stupid people.
Okay, so they know what's up.
If they're not stupid, do they understand the outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can grasp complicated outfits.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
That each of them has a particular characteristic that is to the extreme, that defines them.
Such as?
One of them might be sleepy.
What's that?
Might be.
One of them is, one of them is sleepy.
Okay.
One of them is sleepy.
Bit of certainty. That's
that's when you When you exert yourself too much, when you play too much tennis.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we haven't got into why Serena Williams is hanging around with these guys, but we do know that she's there. She's got a complicated outfit on, and she's with a lot of short fellas who understand that outfit.
Perhaps what that's yeah. why she wants their company.
Yeah. That's what I've got. That's what I've gathered there.
Thank you, Finley.
Thanks.
You don't thank me.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Myself and Andy are aware that other things happened before myself and Andy. Mm. So we'd like to know something about those things. Annie, in 3 minutes, could you please explain to us what happened with the 1647 banning of Christmas in England? Your 3 minutes start now.
Yeah, luckily this is a subject I know a lot about.
Okay.
1647.
Unlike the Black Parade.
Yeah, 1647 was before I was born as well, weirdly.
Oh, okay.
And it was a time where Christmas, which is a concept that...
Yes, what is that?
It's a celebration of a...
Would you describe it as a party?
Or a parade?
It's a bit like a party.
Okay.
Once a year that many people around the world
celebrate. Is it more like a party or a parade?
Yeah.
It's more food-based than a parade.
Okay.
Okay.
So
would it
turn into a parade after the food has been exhausted?
Not usually. Usually it turns into people being sleepy, like the little man who understands Snow White's outfit.
Okay.
So it's a one-day event, which is similar to tennis. Wait. In that tennis is normally played in one day.
Sure.
And it was banned inexplicably, really, because...
That's a shame.
Yeah, because my job's to describe explain
what. What does banned mean?
Banned is like when in tennis you can't kick the ball.
No, you can't kick the ball in tennis.
So if you kicked the ball, you'd be banned. Oh, if you slammed your racket down and broke it, you'd be banned from playing.
Because you're not allowed to do that.
Because you're not allowed to do that.
So things that you're not allowed to do in tennis are banned.
So this one day... Sorry. This one
That's okay.
day... banging the table furiously. This one day party
yes.
was banned.
Which is mainly about food.
Which is mainly about food and actually... a big religious figure.
Right. Okay. Who's okay. that?
Many people believe it was a man called Jesus Christ.
Who's that?
Okay. He is like Cilla Black, except for...
What's his shtick?
His shtick is like, instead of coupling people up, he turns water into wine.
Okay. And would that be a more valued skill at a party or
in
parade?
His time, it was.
Two questions. What's wine?
Only two questions.
Okay. Yeah, what's wine and which service station does he live in?
He's omnipresent, which means he lives in all of the service stations.
Does Cilla have anything to say about this?
I'm not sure she minds, actually, because she can't see him. That's the thing about him. He's he's here and he's not, you know?
Right.
And
I don't understand.
Wine is available at the service station, so you know in a service
and
station.
Does anyone ever question this?
Whether wine's available at the service station?
Yeah, or how it's become available.
What is it?
It's a liquid, like...
Does it make the cars go?
It probably could do, because it's got alcohol in it. But you know in tennis, when you have a drinks break and you have water?
Yep.
It's like that, but you'd be bad at tennis after. I'll drink it. Ran out of time.
Thank you, Annie.
You're welcome.
We've learnt that the 1647 banning of Christmas in England was when having a party about food and Jesus Christ, who is present in all petrol stations.
Yeah.
Turning all of the water into wine. It is a period when that became against the rules in tennis.
Yeah, and it happened before Annie was born, so she had nothing to do with it.
Thank you.
Thanks. Finlay, in 3 minutes, could you please tell us about the introduction of potatoes to the UK? Time starts now.
You know Burger King in a service station?
I think we're familiar with something called a Burger King being present in some service stations.
Yeah, so you know how Burger King you can get chips?
Yes.
So the thing that chips are made from, it actually comes out of the ground, which is the thing at the bottom of the service station, and actually at the bottom of tennis as well.
When do they come out of the ground?
When they're ready.
When are they ready?
They're ready, kind of, you know when... it's game, set and match, a tennis thing.
Yeah, just before everyone goes to the party.
Before everyone goes to the party, yeah. So that's when the sort of process of the thing is over. Mm-hmm. And it sort of starts, when it starts, it's begun. And when it ends, it's over. Does that make sense?
It's good.
we're sort of straying from the thing that chips are made from.
When tennis is done, the chips come out of the ground.
Yeah. Basically, when
that would be so good.
how do they get out of the ground and how deep are they?
So someone...
do they come out of the ground warm?
You know, okay, so when tennis started, it wasn't really a thing.
We don't know when it started.
But you know about tennis.
We don't know everything about tennis.
Okay.
We know about rackets and the net and some of the rules.
And you get banned if you smash them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Briefly, Christmas was
the way that
the
chips are made, you sort of have to put them through like a sort of racket.
Does the arrival of the chips from the ground signal the end of the tennis, or does the tennis ending... prompt them.
Forget.
That's going to be very hard.
Forget the thing I said about.
But we're trying to build a series.
You're right. Okay. That's okay. Someone introduced the thing that chips come from. Chips come from potatoes. Yes.
Right.
Potatoes. You put them through a racket. They become chips. But potatoes.
So there is a sort of symbiotic relationship between tennis and chips.
Okay, yes.
Okay, thank you.
No, if you like. But no. at some point, the same way that tennis was invented, it wasn't a thing before, and then suddenly it was.
Who invented it?
It was actually brought over from somewhere else.
Where?
Oh, I don't know. Somewhere beyond.
Beyond what?
Okay, well, you know, in the petrol station, you can only see a certain distance. You see the trees, and then past there, you don't know what's going on.
Well, they're tennis behind the trees.
Yeah, well, the potatoes are from past the trees.
Okay.
Somewhere.
And tennis is from...
The tennis.
So they must have come over at the same time, given there's such an interrelationship between them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. The place that tennis and potatoes are from is the same. The unknown
And
part.
It's called?
The Netherlands?
Thank you.
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned there about the introduction of potatoes to the UK?
So a while ago, somebody was in the Netherlands and they found that there was a game there at the end of which chips appeared.
At the ground.
And they felt that that needed to be brought past the trees to the service station. And that's what has happened. And that's how we have tennis. And chips.
Thank you, Finley.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How do you feel about what's just happened?
I feel like I've lied to you about a lot of things.
Okay, well, don't do that again.
Okay.
There are so many different things to learn about. We'd like to learn about some more.
Yeah.
Annie,
yes.
In 2 minutes, can you please explain to us what a tapeworm is? Your time starts now.
A tapeworm is quite an unpleasant thing. I think if you were to go to a bad service station and eat a horrible...
What qualifies a bad service station?
You haven't got M&S there.
What's that? What's M&S?
So you have different tiers of service stations, depending on how much of a snob you are.
And what's a snob?
A snob is someone like me who places a higher value on Marks and Spencer's than Whoopi. Is that what it's called?
Whoopi?
Whoopi.
So if a service station has Whoopi...
What supermarket is that?
Burger place that's like Whoopi.
I know what it is, but I'm not going to tell you.
Oh my god!
So
Piston
M&S and Whoopi mutually exclusive. They can't coexist in the same service station.
Well, they can, but quite often the service stations are tiered into like Waitrose, something else that's not that.
And Whoopi is absolutely bottom of the barrel.
I know it's not Whoopi.
And these are all burger places.
I can't remember. And I actually can't remember what the question was.
These are all burger places that you're talking about.
There's like burger places and there's supermarkets.
Okay.
So supermarkets are where you can buy like the burger before it is hot.
Why would you want to do that?
So that you can make it hot yourself at home.
Why?
Because people enjoy the process of creating the hot thing.
And is that
that's called cooking.
And is that better than just getting it hot at Whoopi?
It depends on your needs.
On your needs.
If you're in a rush and you're starving, then getting a hot Whoopi is really valuable.
What's a rush?
When you need to be somewhere really, really quickly, but and you're stressed about it.
So the more time you have, the less valuable Whoopi is.
What I'm saying is, if you get a bad Whoopi, it might make you ill. And I think a tapeworm is something inside you, like a creature that makes your stomach do bad things. Is that a tapeworm?
What sort of bad things can your stomach do?
Well, you digest things in your inside you.
What?
And then when you go to the loo, you get rid of it and it comes out your ass.
Your time was up quite a while ago. Right. In a lot more than 2 minutes, you've told us... Okay, so there's a tiered system of places you can get a burger, okay? Yeah. And snobs prefer a cold, unconstructed burger, and that's what Annie prefers. Yeah. But were Annie to be in a rush, she would lower her standards and get a fast, hot Whoopi.
Oh my god.
Which might contain some sort of creature that would interfere with the process of her digesting food and getting it out of her ass.
Do bad
things. I'm going to get cancelled off the back of this podcast.
Thank you, Annie.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Finley.
Let's go.
In 2 minutes, could you please tell us what a passport is? Your time starts now.
Okay. When you go, when you sort of travel around, the people who are traveling between the service stations in cars...
Right.
Sometimes they go even further than beyond the trees.
Right.
They go to the trees beyond the trees, beyond the trees.
Are there more sports?
It's like a tier system of trees, really.
Oh, right. God.
But the, anyway, the furthest away trees, you actually you need documentation to get there.
But beyond the Netherlands or like?
Well, the Netherlands is an example of somewhere that you would need to go.
Okay.
With a passport.
So
with the kind of service station that Cilla Black and Jesus live in,
yeah.
Would you describe the trees closer to there as more on the whoopee scale or the trees further away as being more whoopee-like? Or are the trees next to a service station a sort of M&S level of quality?
You know, it's not like a proximity-based tier system. It's like every tree can be on a different place. Every tree can be on a different scale.
Their quality is individual to them.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Absolutely, yeah. It's not like the further away you get from the, you know, it's not like it gets more whoopee or less right. whoopee the further trees away you get.
Okay.
To get to the Netherlands, you need documentation that proves that you are, for example, Cilla Black or a tennis player or, you know, an individual like that.
Right, okay.
How would you prove that you are Cilla Black?
Well, you would need to use... You would need to use a picture of your face and then some sort of official writings.
What's a picture?
A picture is like a frozen reimagining of you.
Reimagining?
Maybe that's not the right word. You're frozen. It's a flat frozen version of you.
It's still.
It's still.
Like a party. Cold.
Right,
like a party. Did you say?
So you're
like the things in M&S, like some of them, the colder things. Iceland. We talked about Iceland. Phallological music. That's cold.
Thank you, Andy.
I got lost a bit at the end there. I got to be honest. But I do know that you need a cold a picture of your face in order to get to the Netherlands or anywhere else.
Mm.
And the trees.
Yes. So in order, so the person who first went and got tennis and potatoes from yeah. the Netherlands, they would have had to prove that they were either Cilla Black or Christ.
Yeah.
I actually think I did quite well there.
Good.
Well, yeah, that's heartening to hear because we've got nothing to compare true. It to. So.
Yeah, we've got no mechanism by which to judge it.
Yeah. So, all of this is gold.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
We'd like to know more about human behaviour.
Mm.
Please.
Annie, in 2 minutes,
yeah.
Could you please explain to me what I would be doing were I to give a school assembly on taking drugs?
Okay.
Time starts now.
A school assembly about taking drugs would entail something similar to Cilla Black in Blind Date, where she's in front of a live audience. That... It's like a school assembly, except for it wouldn't be Cilla Black presenting. It would be someone called a teacher.
Right.
And that's someone who works at a school.
Okay. What's a teacher? What's a school?
School is like a petrol station.
Mm. Right.
But instead of people sort of filling up their cars, they're filling up their brains with knowledge.
What people?
young adults, okay. Children.
So the smaller people...
Small, stupid people right. go to these schools to fill up their brains with knowledge from the older people.
Does the knowledge make them bigger?
In a way, it widens their horizons.
Do, so. You put, do you put a liquid in them to make them go?
The liquid is sort of metaphorical. It's not... You can't touch
is it.
So they don't have to burn the knowledge?
They no. don't burn it. It just okay. sort of... It comes out of an older person's mouth and into their heads.
Right. And is Jesus there?
Well, it depends on what you believe. A lot of people believe.
You
yeah,
said he was everywhere.
He's yeah. everywhere.
You said he was
he's
everywhere.
Goes to every assembly.
Okay.
Loves it.
And does he keep doing the wine?
It does the wine thing well. All the time. People okay. are getting annoyed about it.
What are drugs?
And actually, that brings us nicely onto the topic of drugs. Alcohol, wine is a drug. So Jesus oh. keeps. He's like a drug dealer, basically.
Okay.
So he makes
a drug
lot.
Dealer is someone who supplies drugs.
Yeah.
yeah.
And okay. Jesus does yeah. that by virtue of turning water into yeah. wine.
My drug dealer loves it when I hit him up and ask for wine.
Oh, really?
yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
didn't realise we had a legend on the podcast. so then...
What's a legend?
A legend is someone who's very cool, and cool is...
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. what I would be doing were I to give a school assembly on taking drugs, is I would be addressing a group of people, much in the way that Cilla Black addressed the audience of Blind Date, about the process in which Jesus offers people drugs.
Yeah, something like that.
Hmm. Finlay, in 2 minutes, could you please tell us what we would be doing were we to attempt to assassinate Ronald Reagan? Your time starts now.
Okay. You know how tennis has like an umpire?
Mm.
Yeah.
Imagine if there was an umpire for like all the activities of the world. And he...
How big's the chair?
What? How big's the chair?
Because
the umpire sits in a chair.
In tennis, the umpire sits in a chair.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So that they can see everything that goes on.
Yeah.
So to see everything that goes on everywhere.
Yeah.
Even in the Netherlands. So.
Forget. Okay.
Really high up.
The thing, yeah. he doesn't actually need the chair to see what's going on.
Is he Jesus? Because Jesus is everywhere.
He's like Jesus, but there's other people that help him be Jesus.
Are you telling us that the umpire's chair is an affectation?
Come to think of it, yeah, it is quite pretentious, the umpire's chair.
Okay.
The umpire has lots of different... Sorry, Ronald Reagan is the umpire, who has lots of different ball boys who do things for him, basically. And they fetch sort of passports and documentation similar to that.
To help him get to the Netherlands.
To help him kind of communicate with the Netherlands and other such places beyond the trees.
So he's got lots of ball boys who just bring him things.
Yeah, but the balls, it's like passports and documentation and stuff.
Do they just put them at his feet or...
So the ball boys
put them into his brain, put them into his head.
Directly into his head.
Is he getting bigger whilst this is happening?
He's no, he's staying the same size. He's staying the same size. Anyway, now that you know all
that. So the ball boys run off into the trees.
Yeah, bring back passports.
And then they come back. And other stuff.
Yeah, and other stuff. Okay. At one point, basically someone tried to put a stop to Ronald Reagan the same way that a tennis match ends.
Why?
Chips arrive.
Basically, they made chips arrive. They made Ronald Reagan's chips arrive.
Why did they do that?
Did Ronald Reagan get assassinated?
You tell us. This is about attempting to assassinate Ronald Reagan.
Sorry, yes. I think it was JFK. Okay, so he attempted to make his chips arrive.
Okay. What prevented the chips from arriving in this instance?
It was badly ended. The tennis match was badly
right. So there was still some tennis going on.
Basically, they tried to end the tennis match. The tennis match being Ronald Reagan, but the chips didn't fully arrive.
Your time is up, Finlay. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay,
Andy, would you like to sum up what we've learned about what we would be doing were we to attempt to assassinate Ronald Reagan?
We would be attempting to bring about the arrival of the biggest umpire's chips via a mechanism that I'm not entirely certain of. But for some reason, perhaps due to the continuation of some tennis, this didn't happen. And we'd be trying... If we succeeded in making his chips arrive, then the ball boys would have nowhere to put the documents.
Yes.
Because they kept putting them in his head.
Yes. Well, given that the potatoes come from beyond the trees,
yeah,
and Ronald Reagan has many ball boys that bring him potatoes, presumably the way in which we would make his chips arrive quicker, because that signals the end, is we have to encourage the ball boys in some way.
So were the did one of the ball boys attempt to bring the chips about?
It most likely is one of the ball boys that attempted to make his
chips. How might a ball boy be encouraged?
Well, it depends on their love language.
acts of service,
words of affirmation. Yeah, a ball boy can be encouraged with, something as simple as a pat on the back.
Thank you, Finlay.
It's all right.
That's quite worrying. If a ball boy can be encouraged to bring about the arrival of somebody's chips with something so simple as a pat on the back.
Of course, you might accidentally pat someone on the back.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh no. Your chips have arrived.
Yeah.
That's such a good catchphrase. Before you bring someone's chips about to say, your chips have arrived.
Piston.
Yeah.
Wow.
Myself and Andy would like to learn more about how people use language.
Mm.
How meaning is contained within language.
Okay.
Mm. Ali, in 2 minutes.
Yes.
Could you please explain to Andy and I what it was like finding a needle in a haystack means? Your time starts now.
Yes. So in tennis, if you were to be wearing an earring while you were playing and then it came out on the court and you couldn't find it anywhere.
What's an earring?
It's something that it's a piece of jewellery. I'm wearing some now, which is not helpful. Okay.
You've got things that aren't your ear
dangly
in your ear.
Bits yeah. that people wear to make themselves look more appealing.
Okay.
So in tennis,
it make you look more appealing to have things on your ears?
Well, great question, and I'm not even sure if it does. But we're culturally ingrained as women, particularly, to wear accessories like extra bits. Like a magpie to attract suitors. A magpie is something...
And also, could you please explain everything else about the previous sentence?
Yeah. A magpie is a bird, which you might have seen in tennis, when the things that sort of fly overhead while you're taking your serve.
Those are the tennis balls.
Those are magpies, it turns out.
Wow.
And magpies are attracted to shiny objects. Much like...
Okay. Do they ever interfere with the match if they're trying to get at tennis players?
Yeah, sometimes tennis players will go to take a serve and they'll just whack a bird by mistake.
Presumably the bird's chips arrive.
Yeah, but it's perfect setup.
The instance in which your earring gets lost during the tennis match,
yes.
Does the finger of suspicion ever fall onto the magpie?
Often, but sometimes it's just the fault of the tennis player. And when you're then thinking, oh, I need to get my earring back, but I can't find it anywhere because of all the grass on the court, you might say the phrase, this is like trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Is there often grass on tennis courts?
Sometimes. Yeah.
If you're trying to find the earring,
yeah.
and this is during the match, there's a brief cessation of the tennis.
Yeah.
What do the chips do? Do they arrive or are they incapable of arriving?
They're just sort of getting cooler. As it takes.
Your time is up. Thank you.
Thanks.
Annie, you've told us that what it was like finding a knee steak needle.
I don't think she's told us anything about that.
What it was like finding a needle in a haystack means is it's got something to do with losing something shiny that you would put in your ear during a tennis match that may or may not attract a magpie. And losing that, and therefore you becoming less appealing.
Finley, in 2 minutes, could you please explain to us what we would mean were we to say that someone looks like a bulldog chewing a wasp?
Your time starts now.
You know, sometimes on blind date,
yes.
someone gets picked at the end, and then the person who sees them is not happy. With the way that they look, with their appearance, because their face is kind of screwed up and misshapen. basically, a bulldog is an animal.
How does someone on an episode of Blind Date get their face misshapen?
Well, they're born that way.
What's being born?
Okay. You know when a tennis match starts?
Right.
Yes.
That's a terrible comparison. You know how you guys have just sort of begun to exist?
Yeah, we're clones of Andy Barr and Alexander Bennett.
Right, so Andy Barr and Alexander Bennett, when they were first existing, when they existed for the first time,
right.
yeah.
they came out of a larger human being, out of their...
A larger human
out
being.
Out of their non-genitals.
Okay.
And then they existed from there.
Okay, so we've come out of a bigger person. Is it us again?
It's a miracle. It really is. It's amazing. But you weren't born that way, and that's fine.
Right.
But what was the thing? I have to. So sometimes people are born badly.
Is it a function of the birth?
Could be.
Right.
What's a bulldog?
A bulldog is like... do you know what a dog is?
No.
a bulldog is like a... It's like okay, imagine if you had four legs. Imagine if a human being had four legs. You know how sometimes tennis players might have hair on their face? Imagine that hair was all over their entire body. They had four legs. Right. And thanks. They...
Okay. Oh. Sometimes if somebody's born wrong, they come out looking like a hairy four-legged tennis player.
Thank you, Finn. Andy.
Mm.
At the end of all of that, who do you feel has provided the most satisfactory explanations?
I am struggling. I'm really struggling. I think that we've gained a lot of understanding of a place, and you know, places outside the service station, but we also, I think, gained an understanding of life. How it relates to tennis, what happens when it ends.
Shtick,
yeah. I can't call it. I'm going to have to knock it back over to you.
That's like tennis.
I think it was intentional.
Yeah. Was that, what does mock mean?
What?
Is mock something to do with tennis?
Knock.
Knock.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I think on the basis of that, we'll give it to Annie.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
palpable tension in the room. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for making me win.
We've gained more from this than you have. Chips have arrived. Woo.
Thank God for that. What a relief.
You have been listening to Born Yesterday, featuring Andy Barr and me, Alexander Bennett. I created the show and Steve Pretty composed the music. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell people about it. Follow us on social media and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at Aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.